Today's daf is Nida Daf Chav Zayin. We are 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis Boy Minei Rab Yosi Ben Shal Me Rebbe. Today's daf is being learned as a Zuchus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sar Aliza. So the Gemara is continuing to discuss the topic of yesterday's daf, and that is a woman that delivered a shiliyah. She delivered an afterbirth. So I think it's kedai just to understand the metzias of a shiliyah a little bit better, as it's very important as a backdrop to today's daf. So when a woman becomes pregnant, she develops an organ in her uterus called a placenta. The placenta attaches itself to the wall of the uterus, and through the umbilical cord attaches the baby that will develop in the uterus to the woman's body. The purpose of the placenta is to provide oxygen and nutrients to the baby. After the baby is delivered, the placenta has to be delivered as well. In fact, if the placenta is not delivered, it can be very dangerous for the woman. So really, when a woman delivers a child, there's two deliveries. She delivers the child, and then afterwards, the placenta will be delivered. Usually happens several minutes after the delivery of the baby, but the doctor's job is to make sure that the placenta comes out of the woman. A shiliyah is a placenta. After it's delivered, it's known as an afterbirth, but essentially it's the same thing. And what the Gemara was discussing was a woman gave birth to a child, and then she also gave birth to a shiliyah. She gave birth to a placenta. The placenta came out after the child. Now, usually you'll for sure assume that the placenta, this afterbirth, quote unquote, is associated with, it belongs to the child. And as a result, there's no reason to say, oh, if a placenta just came out of the mother's womb, must be there was another child. No, she gave birth to a child, then she gave birth to the placenta or delivered the placenta. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the Hanuk Ben Minuk Derecheret. So there'd be no reason to assume that maybe another child came out, which will trigger another halacha of Tumas Leda. Stating that, we saw at the end of yesterday's daf that it's not always so poshut. And there were times that the Chachamim assumed that if a woman gives birth to a child and then sometime afterwards an afterbirth was delivered, we'll say that this afterbirth, this placenta, doesn't belong to the child that was already delivered, but rather it's a sign that there was another baby, and because there was another baby, there was another placenta. Now that's interesting to note, and that is that when someone carries twins, so sometimes the two twins will be in the same placenta, they'll be in the same shiliyah, they'll be in the same afterbirth, and sometimes they'll be in two separate placentas. So obviously we're discussing a chashash that maybe this woman had twins. One of the children, unfortunately, was miscarried, never came out fully developed, but it was in some point of its development stage. So at the very least, there was a placenta, and that was the shaila. And the Gemara brought three members of Rab. It was a little bit confusing, but the maskana, the way the Gemara came out, Rab said as follows. If the one child that was delivered was a napho, and then afterwards a shiliyah came out, then it depends on when the shiliyah came out. If it came out within 3 days of the delivery of the napho, then we're going to assume that it's related to the napho. You don't have to be concerned for another child. If it came out more than 3 days later, so then of course you would have to be concerned, said Rav, that maybe this shiliyah is a sign of another vlad, and as it relates to Tumah V'Tahira, Zachav V'Nekev, but you have to be concerned that maybe there's another vlad. If the vlad, the child that was delivered, was a healthy child, it's a bar kayoma, and then afterwards a shiliyah came, said Rav, afilu mikan badasara yomim. Even if this shiliyah, the placenta, the afterbirth was delivered 10 days later, in choshen levadach, you're going to assume for sure a healthy child for sure had this healthy placenta, and you're going to assume even if it came out so much longer after the delivery, it for sure belongs to the delivery. If the child that was delivered was a nephil, but not only was it a nephil, it was a nephil she'enoi bar kayom. That's the Gemara we saw at the very end of yesterday's daf. So, for example, it had a yerech echad, Rashi says, it had a guf atum, it was a min behema chayv oif, as in the first Mishnah of the Perek. So, over there, if a mother miscarries a child like that, and then afterwards a placenta comes out, you're for sure not going to attribute the placenta to this child. This child is something very off with, and you're going to have to be chayish that maybe this placenta is a sign of there being another vlad. Now, of course, in today's day and age, it'd be very rare for a woman to deliver a placenta 3 days or 10 days after she gave birth to a child. But once upon a time, you know, in a world of antiquated medicine, there weren't hospitals, you didn't have doctors delivering babies, so these things were probably shchiach, or at the very least, certainly could have been. And as a result, we have a whole sugi over here in Shas, where a woman gives birth to a child, after which she gives birth to the afterbirth, and it came out so much after the Leda, looks like maybe there was another child over here. And it's very important, because in the world of Tomei V'Tahira, with Karbonis and everything else, it's very important to know exactly what's going on. So either way, on that note, the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yisman Shol asked Rabbi the following question. What happens if a woman gives birth to a child and the child looks like an oirev, a raven, and together with the raven, there was a shilya? What's the halacha? Meaning, do we attribute the shilya to the oirev, or do we say that if there's a shilya, if there's a placenta, the oirev probably didn't grow inside the shilya? It's a sign that there's another vlad. Amalei, so he told him, ain't toilin elabadava sheesh b'minoi shilya. Being that an oirev itself, meaning in the world of real ravens, they don't develop in placentas, so this baby that looks like an oirev, we're going to assume is not related to the shilya, and as a result, we're going to assume that the shilya for sure had in it a regular vlad. Kishura baymau. What if the child was physically attached to the shilya? This baby that looks like an oirev is attached to the shilya. What about that? So usually you don't attribute the raven to the placenta, but here it's kishura bay. Amalei, so Rebbe told Rabbi Yosi ben Shaul, dova she'inoy sha'alto. He was toicher. Tell you, asking me a question of something that's not possible, Mitzvah, that freedom, is that true? It can't happen? If a woman was mapala behem chayva, the shulia mom, there was a shulia with it. As much as shulia kishura imam, if the shulia is kishura to the behem chayva, if a choshen levad acher, then you assume for sure the shulia is related to the behem chayva. If in shulia kishura imam, if the shulia, however, is not attached to it, choshen levad acher, then you are chayish. Hareini matal aleim chaymish nevlados. And being that you have no idea what the shulia was, so you have to go lechumra that maybe it's a zacher. You have to go lechumra, maybe it's in the cave. Shani yoimer, because I assume shemini moyach shvir shel shulia. Even though the afterbirth came out and there's no baby attached to it, I'll say maybe the shvir. What's the shvir? The embryo. That's the fetus in its very early stage. Maybe it was nimayach. It disintegrated. That's why you don't see it. And the shvir that did come out, the behemah chayv oif, had a shilya. We don't have that. But what's the bottom line? You see clearly that a woman can miscarry a behemah, a chaya, and an oif, and it's going to have a shilya. Not just that, the shilya could be kshura boy. So Rabbi Yosi ben Shaul asked Rebbe, Hamapeles t'mus oirev. You're telling me that if a shilya comes afterwards, then we don't assume what we usually assume, that this is just the placenta that's being delivered after the baby's being delivered, which happens in almost every case where a woman delivers a child. No, here we assume the shilya is a raya that there was another child, and you have to go luchumra zach in the keva, etc., etc. What if it was attached to it? Rabbi laughed. He says, no such thing. It can't be attached to it. So the Gemara says, no. You see from here, it's a mafurish, a braisa. And the Gemara says, tiufta. Rabbi doesn't often get upgefrakt in Gemara. But over here, it's a tiufta the Rabbi because it's a mafurish, a braisa, not like what Rabbi suggested, that there's no such mitzias. What came to mind is the Gemara in Menachis, daf lamed zayin amed aleph. The Gemara says, boyimene plimoy me Rabbi. Plimoy once asked Rebbe a question. So this is sort of me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa'inyan. A person has two heads. So which one of his heads should he put tefillin on? Amalei, so he told him, oikum gali, oikibel alecha shamto. Rebbe got very upset at Plima. He says, what are you wasting my time with such ridiculous questions? He told him, either go out, go to Galus, or you should be mekabel on yourself shamto. Gemara says, as this happened, adahachi, as Plima is, you know, getting up and ready to leave, osa hu gavro, a person walked in. Amalei told him, siyaladi yenuka d'isli shtei reishi. I get a mazel tov, I just had a baby, two babies, it's Siamese twins, two heads. He said, it's a bechor, and I want to know how much pinyan aben I have to give. Do I have to give five slohim, or do I have to give 10 slohim? Either way, a whole shtikul gemara. So Rebbe said it's not possible, and they would, it's interesting, Rebbe over there was telling Plimai it's not possible for somebody to be born with two heads. Over here, Rebbe said it's not possible for a woman to give birth to an oirev that has a shilya attached to it. Tufta the Rebbe, Tufta the Rebbe. Either way, Zokti Mar Rabbi Bar Sheva, Rabbi Nas Nomer Shmuel. Maisa, there was a story we told. It was a shilya b'vad adasara yomim. There was a maisa shahoya kachoya where a woman gave birth to a child. 10 days later, she gave birth to a shilya, and they associated the shilya to the child. What would be the svara? The child was a vlad kayama. I mean that the child was a vlad kayama. Rabbi Bar Sheva. Omar Rav Mas, meaning Shmuel held like Rav, that if it's a Vlad Kayama, even 10 days later, you're going to attribute the Shulya to the Vlad. Another important halach as it relates to this, the only time you attribute the Shulya to the Vlad is if first the baby was delivered and then the shilya was delivered. If the shilya is delivered before the vlad, then you for sure assume they were twins. One of the children, unfortunately, became a sandal. It was nimayach. Something happened to that child. And it, for sure, you would have tumas leida luchumra zachar nekeva, because if there's a shilya and there's no vlad, you always have to assume the worst case scenario. Amar Rabbi Bar Bachanam Rabbi Yechem, I said it was a story. V'tolu es ha-shilya bevlad ad chof gimol yomim. So not only 10 days, like Rabbi Bar Shela's story, but Rabbi Bar Bachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, I heard that 23 days later, they attributed the Shilya to the Vlad. Rabbi Yosef said, Ad Chav Dal Ram, I heard from you once that 24, not 23, 24. A woman gave birth to twins. The first twin was born, and then 33 days later, the second twin was born. Amalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef again said, Lama Dalet Amrislan. You told us once this story, not 33, 34. So in the first story, it was 23, 24. Here it's 33, 34, but it's two completely different halachas. It's important. Completely different halachas. The first halacha was a woman delivered a child, and then either 23 or 24 days later, she delivered the placenta. She delivered the afterbirth. In the second case, a woman delivered a child, and then either 33 or 34 days later, she delivered another child. It wasn't an afterbirth. It was a real child, says the Gemara. How is that possible, the second story, that a woman can deliver two babies 33 or 34 days apart? Then it would be possible. It's machlokes later in the Gemara. A woman that gives birth to a full-term pregnancy. So today, again, in the world of modern science, etc., it's possible for a woman to give birth to a child in, you know, almost any month of pregnancy, and the child can live and grow up to be a healthy child. But once upon a time, it was a lot trickier. And the understanding was that if a woman gave birth to a child in the seventh month or in the ninth month, the child would be able to be a bar kayama. Other than that, it was more questionable. Specifically, the eighth month was a very dangerous month. That there's a whole sugi in Perek Leazar Demila, Masach de Shabbos, that if a child is born in the eighth month, could you do Mila b'Shabbos? Meaning, it's Mila b'Zmanah, which ordinarily is Doiche Shabbos, even though it involves Chil Shabbos, but Yom HaShmini HaFil b'Shabbos. What about if the child is a Ben Ches? Mar says, no. Because a Ben Ches is not a Bar Kayoma. If it's not Bar Kayoma, then L'chure, it's Mila, won't be Doiche Shabbos. A fascinating idea. But a Ben Ches was considered impossible to be a Ben Kayoma. So either a Ben Zayin or Ben Tes. That's one thing that we need as far as understanding Pashup Shan in this Gemara. Another thing is that there's a machlek is whether a child or that was born in the ninth month, a full-term pregnancy. Was it possible for the baby to be born 2 weeks into the ninth month, for example? 1 week, 3 weeks? There's a man number that says, you led this letitia in your led this lamikutam. And it would have to be a full 9 months. So it says the Gemara, this mitzios, that there were two children that were born 33 or 34 days apart. How does that work? So says the Gemara, that it's possible for a woman to give birth to a child to 9 months, but it doesn't have to be a full 9 months. It could be any time during the ninth month. Mishkachasla, then it's very simple. Echad nigmar tzrasa l'sayf shiva, v'echad nigmar tzrasa l'tchilas tisha. One of the babies was born at the end of the seventh month. The other was born at the beginning of the ninth month. So you have 33, 34 days apart. Elamandam yoledes l'tisha and yoledes l'mikutan. But according to Mandam, that says that a yoledes l'tisha is not yoledes l'mikutan. Ma'yikala meymar. How's that possible? L'chura, the later one, would have had to have been born at the end of the ninth month. When was the earlier one born? Couldn't have been any time during the ninth month. Couldn't have been during the eighth month, because that's not even on the table. So it must be that it happened during the seventh month. Happened during the seventh month, so it's already 2 months earlier. So it's a lot more than 33 or 34 days apart. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's a great kasha, and you have to say, epach shmeitza, lamed gimel l'shulya, and chaf gimel l'vav. We told two stories. One was where there was a delivery 23 or 24 days apart. The other one was a delivery 33, 34 days apart. But we said there were two different stories. One was where a woman delivered a baby, then she delivered a shulya. The other one was where a woman delivered a baby, and then she delivered another baby. We had that the baby and the shulya were 23 days apart. The baby and the baby were 33 days apart. Says the Gemara, Epech Shmaitza, flip it around, could be our Messiah, the two stories, was off by a drop. The story of 23 days apart, that was negated the two children. Two children could be delivered 23 days apart, as opposed to the story of the Shilya, that was 33, and that was 34 days apart. Zog the Gemara, Amrab Abin Barav, Ado, Amrab Menachem Ishkvar Shor, Vamrlob Eishor, Maisid was the story of Vinashav, Vlad Echad, Acha Chaveri Gimel Chadashim. There was a story where a woman gave birth birth to a child, and then 3 months later, she gave birth to another child. Says the Gemara, and if you don't believe me, Varehem Yoishvin Lefanenu Bebeis Medrash. Both of those children are in Beis Medrash right now. Says the Gemara, who? Umanenu? Yehuda Vechizkiah Bnei Rebchiah. Rebchiah's famous sons, Yehuda and Chizkiah, they were twins, and they were born 3 months apart. Faith the Gemara, is that possible? How could you have two children be born 3 days apart, 3 months apart? It sounds like the only way this happened is if there were two pregnancies. So she was pregnant, and then she became pregnant again, somehow 3 months later. And that's how this all happened. Freddy Gemara, we know that doesn't work that way. Abayi
says, you're right. Tipa achas oiso. Vineschalko v'shtayim.
Really, it was one tipa of zera that resulted in these two children. One of them, Nigmara Tsurasa B'tchila Sheva, developed to 7 months. Vecha B'saif Tes, and the other one developed to 9 months. One was the beginning of the seventh month, one was the end of the ninth month. Like this, you have 3 months apart. And that's how this happens. So just one ha'ara before we go fight. It's really two ha'aras. We'll save one for the end of the daf. But one ha'ara right now, before the Gemara shifts gears. And that is, there's a fascinating tshuva from the Noida B'Yehuda. So this tshuva is in Tshuva's Noida B'Yehuda. It's an Evena Ezer, Madura Tinyana, Simon Pei Aleph. The Shoyal was Rabbi Yeshaya Berlin, who I believe was Rabbi Yeshaya Pick, the author of the Messiah Sashas. So he sent him the following question. So somebody came to him and he told him that his wife gave birth to twins after 9 months, but he's very concerned. He said because he was with his wife only one time 9 months before she gave birth to twins. And he's concerned that if two children were born, it must be there were two bios. And if there were two bios, it means that she was an ashesish, that was mezana, and he's being mitzi las now. He went to Bez, and he says, I think my wife was mezana. He said, because, I don't know, it was one bia, and two children came out. And the shayil came, and he said he had a raya from a real Torah digger source to support this idea, which is that if a woman gives birth to twins, it must be there were two bias, because one bia can beget one child. But how could one bia beget two childs? He said, Machmashamotza b'sefer drush. He found in a drush sefer, she'efsha l'tu'umim l'sabra mibiyachas, that it's not possible for tuma to be born from one bia. This is what he told him. So says the Noida B'Yehuda, Hine, habal hazeh, this husband, who's walking around being mitzi laz about his wife, avoyno yisa v'choshet b'ksheira. V'divrei adrush, and as it relates to this divrei drush that you're quoting, hey mehevel avolim, neged kama mekoymes b'shas, ein mispar, kashe hirgish gam alosa, the shoyo, Reb Shaya Pick knew this. So he said, you yourself already acknowledged when you presented to me the shayla that was presented to you, that this many gemara is not the way. We just learned the gemara now. Ein isha misaberes v'choyzeres v'misaberes. And Abaye explained how a tu'umim born, ti b'achas oysa v'nischal k'lishtayim. But the point is that to think that it was two separate bios that resulted in two pregnancies, that's something that's not possible. The other rabbi said the Noida B'Yehuda, E'ef shalol v'saber tumim b'shtei bios, zu achar zu, shiyu shnei b'nei kayama, ki im she'iyah echad sandal, if something like this happened, one of them would end up being a sandal, it's not possible. Then he says, Ma she'hed b'shem chachmi atever, he said, this is what you're telling me in the tshuva that you heard from the chachmi atever, the scientists, the doctors of the time, that they believed it's possible. Other rabbi, it's not true. I've spoken to doctors, they told me just the opposite. Well, this Arabic, it works just the opposite. Then he says, "Vini Agoyin Rameyav Frankel Zal Shoya Of Bezdin and Zolkov." That's where the Maritz Chayas became Rav later. V'gamkin Roifa B'Chatzer Hamelach. He was also a big doctor. Either way, it's Dvarim Neflom over there. What he said. If you look in the back of the Mechon Yerushalayim, Noida B'Yehudas, so they give us the rest of the story. Who was this Dairish? He said that he heard from a Machashamotza B'Sefer Drush She'efshel Tumel Esaber Mibiachas. So what was the Sefer Drush? It's the Yaris Dvash. The Yaris Dvash was written by the Rebbe Reb Yonason. Reb Yonason Eibeshitz. And Reb Yonason Eibeshitz said the following Shtikl Torah to explain a well-known Gemara in Perek Aral, Mesechtes Yevamis, Dvarim Neflaim, Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis. The Gemara over there tells the story of David HaMelech, where the whole controversy resulted in the fact that he came from Rus, Mayavi v'le Mayavis, Amoini v'le Amoinis. So in the very beginning of the story, so Shaul sees David HaMelech, and he wants to know exactly who is he. So he turns to his chevron, and he says, I want to find out, imi peretz osi, imi zerach osi. So Tamar had two sons. She gave birth to twins. One was Peretz, and one was Zerach. Right? That's the story. One was Peretz, and one was Zerach.
David HaMelech came from Tamar. And Shaul said, we have to inquire. We have to find out exactly what David HaMelech's zichus is. Does David come from Peretz? Or does David come from Zerach? Says the Rabbi Yonason, why did it matter? Why was it so significant to Shaul to know which one of Tamar's children David HaMelech came from? So he said, Pshat is like this. He says, because the Gemara says in the Sachtis, Yivam es davchof amid beiz, that you can't do Yibam with a Chayvi Lavin. So if a Chayvi Lavin falls the Yibam, the halach is, you don't do Yibam. Faith Gemara, why? Why don't you say that the mitzvah saseh of Yibam, Yivam and Yavah Allah, should be doicha deloy saseh? We know you can wear klein betzitzes, because saseh is doicha deloy saseh. So why don't we say that the saseh of Yibam is doicha deloy saseh? So the Gemara says, the reason is because the saseh is only the first mitzvah. The second is the first bia. The second bia, there's no mitzvah anymore. Yivam and Yavah Allah is the bia rishayna. After that, there's no mitzvah anymore. So gzeira bia rishayna ought to be a shnia. That's what the Gemara says in Yivam and Stavchaf and Aleph. That it's for that reason you never do Yibam with a Chayvi Lavin. But if that's the case, it comes out that the real mitzvah of Yibam is only the Bia Rishayna. The Bia Shnia, there already is no mitzvah. So he says like this, that Rashi says in Chumash that Yaakov and Esav, they were fighting as they were coming out of their mother's womb, so there was a struggle, right? The Pasuk says, V'achar ken yotza achiv, v'yodo yoichezes ba'akev Esav. Esav went out first, and Yaakov was fighting. He wanted to come. He was holding on to it, says Rashi. Why was he fighting? B'din hoyo oiches, boy, la'akva. He was doing it al pi din. It was something that he had right to do. Because Yaakov noitza mitipa rishoyna. Yaakov was born from the tipa rishoyna. The Esav min ha-shniya. Esav was born from the tipa shniya. Tzei ulmad mishvei feres shepi ha-ktara. So says Rashi, think of a shvei feres. Put one stone in, then put another stone in. Whichever one went in first, that's the one that's going to come out last. The one that goes in second, that's the one that's going to come out first. If that's the case, if Esav was coming out first, if Esav came out first, it means he was noitzer from the second tipa. Yaakov, who was coming out second, was noitzer from the tipa rishoyna. So the Yaakov shenoitzer rishoyna yotza achroin. The Yaakov balakfoy. So Yaakov felt, 1 second, I'm supposed to come first. Shehei rishon leleida, karishon leyetzira. Vi if there's rechli, vi tels abachar, min adin. So Rashi says a whole shtickle Torah. Well-known Rashi in the beginning of Parashas told us that Yaakov was fighting with Esav, v'yoda echezes ba'kev Esav. He felt that I should come out first. He had a right to come out first. It was mi'ikra adin that he should come out first. Why is it mi'ikra adin? Because if he's coming out second, it means he was noitzer from the tipa rishayna. So either way, Rabbi Yonasan and Anishin said that you see from Rashi that the way twins are born is that there's a tipa rishayna, there's a tipa shniya, or there's a bia rishayna, and there's a bia shniya. Tamar gave birth to twins through Yehuda, through a nice yibum. The real mitzvah's yibum is only the bia rishayna. After that, it's already a bia shniya. You know what Shaul wanted to know? Shaul wanted to know, was David from the first twin? From the one that came out first, or from the one that came out second? He wanted to know, did he come from the bia rishayna, or did he come from the bia shniya? L'mayin afkemina, if he came from the bia rishayna, he came from the yibum, the real mitzvah yibum. If that's the case, then he's worried about David. Because then David has no psul inside his zera. Then he's afraid of David. But if he came from the bia shniya is really not such a mitzvah. And then you're dealing with a bia of arayas and kurvas. So he was a little bit concerned. Then he said, then I don't have to worry about David HaMelech. Because then he already came from zera psul. So it says, v'lochein, this is what he wanted to know. Zerach was the one that came out first. So if Zerach came out first, Al Karchach the Nichnas Achroin. If that's the case, Yesh Beher Yoinoi Daifu. Because if he was the Bia Shnia, that means there's an issue with his Bia. If there's an issue with his Bia, of any Roy Lamlucha, then David's not Roy Lamalchus anyways. However, if he comes from Peretz, who was Yotza Achroin, that means he came from the Tipa Rishoina. If he came from the Tipa Rishoina, it means there's no Daifu. And that was the Shaila, Vezesh Shela Shol. Imi Peretz? Doig was standing there, and Doig says, you're worried about if he came from this cheshbin, to be a rishoyna, to be a shniya, as it relates to a mitzvah zibum. He's a apostle of it, bakal, because it comes from Rus anyways, and Rus was a mayaviya, and it says, and of course, the rest is history. But either way, he said that the way the twins, Zerach and Peretz, were born is the same way Yaakov and Esau were born. There was one bia, there was another bia, and just like the Gemara says, to be a shniya, that the real Yibam is only Beir Shoyna, that means the Beir Shnei of a Yibam is always going to have a little bit of Doifi in it. And that's what Shaul HaMelech was trying to determine as it relates to understanding who David HaMelech is. Did he come from a Beir with Doifi, or did he come from a Beir where there's no Doifi? So this was the Shtickle Torah that Rabbi Shaya Berlin, Shaya Pick, mentioned to the Night of Yehuda. He says, I see a whole shtickle Torah that the way twins are born, they come from two different beers. There's one beer, there's another beer. And that's what this Shaya wanted to know. He said that he had one beer, it was a beer Rishayna. There was no beer Shnia. His wife gave birth to twins. Does he have to be concerned now that she's an Eshes Ish that was in Satachas Baila, and now she's Osetim? What are the children? Are a Mamzer? They're both going to be a Sophic Mamzer. So he was very concerned. He had a major issue. And that's what the Night of Yehuda wrote back to him. The Night of Yehuda said, V'divri Adrush Heme Hevel Avolim Nebek. This is Drush, and sometimes he writes at the end, he says, Darshanim very often will take poetic license. They'll say things even though it's not true, and even though it's not Oiskalton. So he said, this is a classic example. He says, before the Gemara. We just learned the Gemara. Now, in that shtickle, he talks about, did the Rebbe Rabbi Yonason mean two separate bias, or maybe two tipos within the same beer? But he says, either way, it's not true. And the bottom line is, the way it's born is like Abaya said, it's tipa achas, tipa nischalka. That's the way it works. And as a result, all this divrei drush, this man has nothing to worry about. And if he continues being moitzi laz on his wife, avoy neyisa, because he's a chayshta big shev. Fascinating. Either way, talk to you more about Shulya Bebayis. Habayis Tameh, if there's a Shulya inside a house, so the Mishnah said, the whole house becomes Tameh. Why does the house become Tameh? So the Gemara said, not because the Shilya is a Vlad. Shilya is not a Vlad. A placenta is not a Vlad. Placenta, we said, is an organ that attaches itself to the wall of the uterus, and it provides oxygen and nutrients to the child, to the fetus that's developing and being formed within the uterus of the mother. But ain't Shilya she'enim a Vlad. So the placenta has blood inside of it, and that blood, part of it is from the Vlad, certainly in a case of a miscarriage. And as a result, we're going to assume that this dam over there of the child, and if there's dam of the child, that dam, again, in a case of a miscarriage, has a din of dam in a mace, dam of a mace is metama, it's metama even ba'oil, and that's why if this shilya of a miscarried child is going to be inside a house, the whole house is going to be tummy. Not because the shilya is a vlad, but in the shilya, this dam of the vlad, that's the issue. Rav Shimon in the Mishnah argued. Rav Shimon said, nimay ka vlad, ad shalwa yotze. Now the way we explained Rav Shimon when we learned the Mishnah, is Rashi explained it in the Mishnah. And that is, Rav Shimon agrees that the shilya has a vlad in it. However, Rav Shimon holds, in the case of a baby that, or an embryo that's miscarried inside the shilya, it miscarries before it's delivered. If that's the case, the blood that we're concerned about was already nimayach inside the mother's womb. If that's the case, it was nisarev with the other blood that's in the uterus. When a woman gives birth to a child, so there's blood. So it was nisarev with that other blood. That other blood is not a mace. It's tummy. It's tummy tumasiyah ledes, maybe dam nida, but it's not dam of a mace in that it should be metame ba'oil. And being that dam is nisarev, it's batal b'roi. Meaning everybody agrees ain't shol yibolei vla. The question is this dam is going to be nisarev with all the other dam. When did this taruvah happen? According to Rav Shimon, it might have happened inside the mother's womb. If that's when it happened, by the time it came out, it was already batel. If it was batel, it had no way to be metamel the mace. A mace is subject to the laws of bittel. According to the Chachamim, no, it may have happened afterwards, and as a result, you have to be concerned. So even though Rashi in the Mishnah explained the Gemara that way, in its initial stages, the Gemara is going to grapple a little bit to understand time of the Rav Shimon, and at the very end of the sugya, the Gemara is going to suggest two pshatim, one we'll see today, one we'll see tomorrow. The first is Rabbi Yechon's pshat, which is what Rashi said in the Mishnah. So that's the end in terms of what the sugi is going to play out like at the end of the daf. But for now, we're going to make believe we don't know that, and we have to go through trying to understand my time of the Rav Shimon. It's up to Martana Rabbanon. Shuli b'bayis. Habayis tamid. Loish ha-shuli v'lad. Elosh ha-in shuli b'lo. Not that the shuli itself is a vlad, but if there's a shuli, there's a vlad. Divrei Rab Meir. So in our Mishnah, it's just the Tanakama, but like many Mishnayas, Stam Mishnah is Rameir, and the price is Rameir Shita. Rab Yoisi, v'Rab Yehuda, v'Rab Shimon Mitarin. So in our Mishnah, it was Rab Shimon that was Mitar. Over here, it's Rab Yoisi, Rab Yehuda, and Rab Shimon that were all Mitar. And it can make a big difference in Halacha, because we usually don't paskin like Rab Shimon, we always paskin like Rab Yoisi. Machloikis Rameir, Rab Yehuda, we always paskin like Rab Yehuda. So again, these things play themselves out. The names matter very much when you deal with Klalei Apsar. I'm like the Rameir. So Rab Yoisi, Rab Yehuda, Rab Shimon all told Rav Meir, you agree with me that if a woman delivers a placenta, an afterbirth, and it's in a bucket now, and this bucket was in a house,
You claim this house is Tameh. Okay. Now you take this bucket with the placenta in it and you move it into another house. That other house for sure is Tameh, right? He says, absolutely. He said, Velomo, I don't understand. Why? He said, Fishainoi. Because it's not there. Because the placenta and the blood, it all goes, it disintegrates. So whatever dam you're worried about isn't going to be there anymore. I'm like, so then, I don't understand. If you take it to the house in the back, at that point, it's that house is going to be tar. So why is that house tar and this house tummy? So he told him, because I agree that at some point, it's all going to be nesarif, and it's not going to be an issue, but it doesn't happen right away. So you're telling me it happens immediately. So as soon as the baby's delivered, mazel tov, all of a sudden, no, the house is already tar. No, I disagree with you. The house is not tar. The house is actually tame. Because when the shilya came out initially, this bittul that you're talking about didn't happen yet. But by the time you took it to the beis achitza, at that point, I agree with you, it's not negeya, and therefore the second house will be tar. So whatever the chachamim felt is the reason that the house should be tame, It's a very short-term thing. By the time you move it a little bit and it shakes a little inside, this safel inside this bucket, at that point, this is not something you would have to worry about. Zok Gemara, Yosef Rapapa, Acheri de Rabibi, Kamei de Rav Hamnuna. Rapapa was sitting behind Rabibi, in front of Rav Hamnuna. The Yosef, he was discussing this, Allah, my time, Rav Shimon, what's Pshana Rav Shimon? That holds that if a woman delivers a shilya and there's a dead embryo inside, you don't have to worry about it. There's no tumah. He said, "Kasava called tumah shenisarev b'mimin achar batla." He said, "Because anytime you have tumah, that's nisarev with other things, even if the min achar is another type of tumah. Because over here, again, the tumas mace is because of the vlad that was in the shilya in shilya b'levi vlad that was nimayach. It turned into blood. It was nisarev. What was it nisarev with?" Blood, that's the taruvais over here. This is not a tipas cholov that fell into a kedera of basar. This is a taruvais of dam and dam. Both dams are tameh. Stating that, kasavar called tumah, shenisariba, mimin achar, another type of tumah, bakla. So the dam, nida, the dam of the makar, this dam yeledes has an ability to be mevatel, the dam of the mace. Amadu Rapapa. So Rapapa said, hainut nami tamayid Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosi. So by the way, that's also pshan Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosi. So again, we have a machlekes Rav Meir on the one hand, Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Shimon on the other hand. Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, Shimon are all mat. So the Gemara says, the Amiram said, what's pshat in Rav Shimon? One of the three Amiram. He said, because he holds kol tumash and nesar b'mimim nachabot. So Rav Papa chimed in, and Rav Papa said, I want you to know, hainu nami tamayot Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosi. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosi, who hold like Rav Shimon, it's for the same reason. So the Gemara says, achichu ala. They laughed at Rav Papa. He said, maishna, of course, pshita, it's obvious. I mean, they all said the same halacha. So if this is Pshan Reb Shimon, why would that not be Pshan Reb Yehuda? They didn't say different halachas. They said the same halacha. All three in unison. Ke'ish echad, b'lev echad. They said, Amrulai, right, Abel. There's a whole shock of the tie. They're all saying the same thing. So why would you think that they're coming from different reasons? Amr Rapapa. So Rapapa said, I hear you're laughing, but I said what I felt I had to say, because I feel that when it comes to learning, you should say things, even at the expense of maybe somebody laughing at you. Meaning, I thought it was worth mentioning. You don't think so? Okay, so you don't think so. But I don't care. At the end of the day, I'm still going to say what I have to say. Shenemer, and he darshan the pasuk mishle, not the pashup shot, but with his drush. He said, "In navalta, if you're willing to embarrass yourself in learning, ask questions that maybe will be silly questions. Behisnase, Rashi soifich lesnase. Eventually, you're going to become great. V'imzamaisa, but if you put a zmama, you put a muzzle on your mouth, you're afraid to ask. Yad lepeh. Then at some point in the future, people when they ask you questions." You're going to have to put your hand on your mouth because you're not going to know what to answer. In other words, Loya Bai Shalomi. That's what Papa told him. And he said, I said it anyways. Either way, he says the Gemara, Va'oz the Rav Shimon l'tameh. This Rav Shimon, who, together with Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi, are of the opinion that a shilya, even though a shilya b'lay v'lad, but it doesn't matter. The halacha is, it's not metame the bias to mas mace. What do you mean? There's a mace inside. No, because it was nisarev with menacher, so it's not a problem. So it says, well, this is Rav Shimon l'shitas. Tanya went to the braisa. Mali tarvin rekev, shenofa l'toichoy, offer kol shu tame. So the halacha is that you don't need an entire mace in order for there to be tomas mace. Kazai is basa, revi is dam. Etzim kisa'ira, right? There's different halachas as it relates to Tomas Maga, Masa Oil, of how much of a mace you need in order for us to deem it that is a mace here with regards to the halachas of Tumah. One of the halachas L'moshe Misinai in the world of Tumas Mace is that Mole Tarvid Rekev, if you have a spoonful of dust afar of a maze. The halach is that it's metame even ba'oils, we'll say. So moly tavid rekiv shenafal toichi afar kol shu tame. Reb Shimon metame. What happens if you had a moly tavid rekiv and a little bit of afar fell into it? So the chum say it's tame. A little bit of afar doesn't negate the fact that you have a moly tavid rekiv. That's a shear of tumas maze. There's no reason it shouldn't be tumas maze. Reb Shimon says no, it's going to be tar. So my time is Reb Shimon. Why does Reb Shimon hold it's tar? Doesn't make sense. On my rabbis, the rabbis said ashkachtin al rabbanon bei rab. I met the rabbanon. They asked vivakarmi. They said as follows because. Unbelievable chiddush and lomdus. Shall yirbu shtei pray this offer? I'll pray the achas. You're looking at the whole spoonful of rekev, but don't look at the whole spoonful. Look at it as individual particles of dust. There's no question that if you're going to add a little bit of offer, that's not rekev of a mace, not dust of a mace, just regular good old fashioned dirt. And you're going to put it into this taruvos over here. There's got to be a place where there'll be two particles of regular offer to the one particle of rekev of a mace. And if there is, it's mevatel that. And if it's mevatel that, you're going to have less than the shear. Because the shear is mole tarvid rekev. You only have the shear if you have the full mole tarvid rekev. But being that in any given part of this taruvah, there might be 2-1 of heter to iser, of regular offer to rokav ames, so you're going to end up being mevatel even one tiny particle. Once you're mamatal a particle, you don't have the shear anymore. So that's time of the Reb Shimon, says the Gemara, because Eev Shishli Yavish, they pray this off, I'll pray the Achash, I'll rekib. V'chosole, and you're gonna, it's gonna be chosole. So Rabbi said, I heard the Rabbanim saying this pshat. So I turned to him, I said, Aminu l'ad Rabbi. Eev Shishli Yavish, they pray this rekib, I'll pray the Achash. Why are you looking at it that way? Maybe look at it just the other way. There's much more rekib over here, seemingly in this Taru voice, that there is offer. So you worried about the little bit of offer being mevatel? It goes both ways. The offer is going to be mevatel. The rokav is going to be mevatel offer as well. And if that's the case, nafesh leishirei, you're going to end up having more. Elamai Rabba. So Rabba said, you have to say. Now before we go weiter, why did the Gemara quote this? Because the Gemara is going to get a little bit confusing. Why did the Gemara quote this right now? Because the Gemara is trying to understand my time with the Reb Shimon. And the Gemara thinks at this point, This is a good place to stop for a second. Because the Gemara thinks at this point that maybe pshat in our Reb Shimon that holds, that even though in Shilya B'lei Vlad, but if a woman delivers a shil, you don't have to worry about Tumas Meis, maybe this is related to this Shitas Reb Shimon, where Reb Shimon holds that if you have a Mole Tarvid Rekev and there's a little bit of Ofer inside of it, the halach is it's going to be Tar. Based on what the Gemara thought, the Rabban and the Bei Rav thought was Pshat in that Reb Shimon. They thought that Pshat in that Reb Shimon was because even though you technically have the Moli Tarvid Rakiv, you have the Shear, and the Offer is even a Dover Mu'it relative to that, but all you need is two particles of Offer to be Mavato, one particle of Rakiv, and you're out of business, and the whole thing goes out. So that's the Yisrael of that Reb Shimon. And the Gemara is telling that too at this point, Reb Shimon l'tameh, that's Pshat in Reb Shimon in our Mishnah. That Erechanam, you have Dam of the Mace that was Nimayach, but you also have Dam that your Ledis has from her Makar. Maybe the Dam of the Makar is Mevato, that a little bit of Dam, and once it's Mevato, a little bit of Dam, it knocks out the whole Tumas Mace. Now, obviously, to say that, it's a little bit of a stretch, because what you're then saying is that for some reason, if you'd be Mevato a little bit of the Dam, of the mace that was Nimayach, that would somehow negate the whole Tumas mace over here, which is Tzorech Bir. Right? Bishloima by the Tumas mace, where the shear is Moli Tarvid Rekev. So if you mevatel a little bit of the Moli Tarvid Rekev, so you don't have the shear anymore. So that was the insight of Reb Shimon. He said, you put a little bit of offer, this huge Chiddush and Lamdus that you can start isolating different parts of the Taruvos and say, oh, this little part of the Taruvos, he had two of Heter, Kenegah, the one of Issa, two of Offer, Kenegah, the one of Rekev. You don't have the shear, you're not going to have Tumah. That's very nice when you're dealing with the Rock of a Mace, where there's a shear. But over here, L'chayre, by the Dam, a little bit of Dam of the Mace was this Arif, let's say, to the Dam of the Makar. Okay, so you don't have all the Dam of the Makar, but all you need is a Kazai, or a Revius of Dam, or a Kazayas of Dam, whatever exactly the Shear is. L'chura, who says you don't have the Shear? So the Rishonim say that it's Muchach from the Gemara, that the Gemara thought that the only time the Shilya will be Metama the Bias because of the Dam that was Nimayach in the Shilya is if you have all the Dam. But if you don't have all the Dam, it's not going to be Metama. And that's the Tzurish, Reb Shimon L'tameh. That just like Reb Shimon holds, that you can isolate that Bittul, and Moli Tavid Rekev, a little bit of Ofer Kivim, Mevatel that, even if there's more Rekev, it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, you can look at one part of this Taruvis and say, I'm missing a dot of the Shear, and as a result, it's not going to be Tomei Tumas Meis, because you don't have the whole Moli Tavid Rekev. So to over here, the Dam of the Makar can be Mevatel, even a little bit of
dam of the mace. If I don't have all the dam of the mace, at that point, you're not going to have tumas mace. Now, what's the reason for that? So that's not really our sugya. But either way, this was the Gemara's initial stab, attempt at trying to understand Taimid Rav Shimon, that this is Rav Shimon l'shitasai, but the Gemara said that Rabbah knocked out this whole premise, because the Rav Shimon l'shitasai is based on this Rav Shimon by Moli Tarvid Rekev, and the Gemara says, Rabbah said, Ashkachtinu l'rabbanu d'bei Rav, and I said, it doesn't make any sense, because if you're worried about Offer be mavat a little bit of Rakov, then why isn't the Rakov mavat a little bit of Offer? And then it's giving enough for Shleim Yishayure. So if there's no such Rav Shimon, there can't be such a Rav Shimon with Tameh. We can't have our Rav Shimon either. So it's Hajjah Kushaluduch, they might time in the Rav Shimon. But before the Gemara does that, before the Gemara says my time in the Rav Shimon, the Gemara digresses, what it often does. So we mentioned Rav Shimon Shita, so we're going to have come out a whole Amid Gemara where the Gemara is going to discuss this Shita's Rav Shimon. Says the Gemara, Elam Rabba, what's Pshana Rav Shimon that holds? That if you have a mole, Tarvid Rekev, that was Nasarev with it, a little bit of Offer. So what's the halacha? That little bit of Offer somehow knocks out the mole, Tarvid Rekev. You don't have Tum anymore. Pshat is, because the old Soifik et Chilasa. Mat Chilasa Nasle Dover Acher Gan Giloin. Av Soifai Nasle Dover Acher Gan Giloin. Just like the halacha is that in order to have moly tavid rakiv, you would need that when the body decomposed and turned into offer, there was nothing else that decomposed with it. The Gemara is going to explain in a second. There was nothing else with it. If there was something else with it, anything, even if it's offer min adama, if it's the clothing of the mace, anything that's nisarev together with it, there's no halacha. It's the davar acher becomes a gangiloin. Rashi says, what does gangiloin mean? Davar ha'oimed kenegdoi. It becomes like something that's standing up against it. It's working against you. So any davar acher is a gangiloin as it relates to the laws of moly tavid rekev, but that's true with chilosa. So if the rekev decomposed l'katchila together with anything else, you're not going to have the halacha moly tavid rekev. So too, Rav Shimon al-Soifoi is the same thing. If I already have the moly tavid rekev, and then any little thing is nesarev with it, so it's more of a chiddush in the world of Moli Tarvid Rekev. What's this idea of Tchilosoi, that if there's a Dover Acher Gan Gilon, you don't have Dalach? Time we learn to the Bais, it's Omeish Yeshul Rekev, it's Omeish Einle Rekev. What's an example of a mace that has Dalach of Rekev? What's an example of a mace that doesn't have Dalach of Rekev? Nikbar Arum, if the person was buried, Arum, no clothing on. Ba'arin Shal Shayesh, in a marble casket. Oh yeah, Gabi Ritz B'Shal Avonim, or on top of stones that were Avonim, meaning not dirt. Zeh Omeish Yeshul Rekev. Why? Because there's no Dover Acher. When the body decomposed, there was nothing else decomposing with it. There was no clothing. There was no wood of the coffin. It wasn't buried directly in the ground. Nikbar b'iksus. So if it was buried together with its clothing, I bar in shal eitz. I agabi ritzpa shal levenim. Zeh meisha ein leirekev. V'lo yomru rekev. Elu meis b'van. Another halacha, that laws of rekev only apply to someone that dies naturally. Lemutei harug the life. Somebody was murdered. Then you don't have dalach. Anyway, that's Rav Shimon. You cited that Rav Shimon is. It's soifa ketchila. So it has nothing to do with bittol. It's just more of a technical halacha in the sugya of Moli Tavid Rekev. Goof on this note. Again, continuing with the digression. Moli Tavid Rekev shenavol techi offer kol shu tame. If you have a Moli Tavid Rekev and a little bit of offer fell into a tame, Reb Shimon Matar, Reb Shimon says, this is the same achleik as we had earlier. Moli Tavid Rekev shen espazib abayis. What if you had a Moli Tavid Rekev and it was scattered inside a house? Abayis tame, the bayis is tame. Reb Shimon Matar, Reb Shimon says, tar. Now, at first glance, the Gemara assumes that, why does Reb Shimon say tahar? Because the bias has offer, right? The olden days. And as a result, the offer was Nesarev together with the Moli Tarvid Rekev. So it's the same Reb Shimon, it's the same Chachamim, the same Reb Shimon. Shimon holds that if you have a little bit of offer in the Rekev, you knock out the whole thing. Chachamim are not Nespal, says the Gemara B'Tzrichas, what do we need Bo Machleik? Is it for? No, you need them. Because the Yeshmin and Kamai said, they only had the first halacha, but you come and Rabbanan, I would think that maybe the Rabbanan said the halacha, but they didn't show the Michnam. Because at the very least, all the Rekev is in the same place. You're right, the Rabbanan are not Nespal from the fact that it's on the ground and there's offer with it. They don't hold kisayfay ketchilasay. But at the same time, they need that it should be all under the same roof. Avol nispazer. If, however, the Rakov was scattered throughout the house. Even Maidu Reb Shimon. Maybe the Maidu Reb Shimon. Why? Based on an obscure halacha, rather simple halacha, actually, in Hilchas Ahalis, the Ein Ma'al B'Chayz Ma'al, that two roofs can combine for Tumas Oil. So if you have a shear of mace for Tumas Oil, but they're not under the same roof. So they're in the same house, but different slabs are covering it. So it's not halachically deemed one roof. Maybe that's the side of the Chacham Shita. So therefore, the Chacham wanted to make it clear that, no, they hold Mahu V'chayz of Amal, that it is mitzarev, and even though it's nespazah, so it's going to be told. Yes, we only had that halacha. So you're right, you know everything you need to know about the Chacham, but I would think Baha'am Reb Shimon Mahu V'chayz of Amal. Maybe that's the whole side of Reb Shimon. Maybe Reb Shimon holds that you that Rakov is still metama, even if you have offer inside of it. In the case where it's in the spaz of wise of Shimon Altar, because of a Tumas Oil Halacha. It's because Eim Avachai is Mema. So therefore, to clarify it, we had to have all this Halacha. Another Brisa. Tanya Idach Moli Tarvid V'Oid Ofer Beis HaKvaris. You had a little more than a Moli Tarvid of Ofer of a Beis HaKvaris. So the way you read this is Moli Tarvid V'Oid. Not a Moli Tarvid and some of Ofer Beis HaKvaris. The Halacha is Tameh. Shimon Metar. Rabbi Shimon says, it's Tameh. Might be the Rabbanon. Why do Rabbanon hold Tameh? If you have Shalom Moli Tarvid V'Oid, Ofer Beis HaKvaris, Shimon Moli Tarvid Rekav. Because it's impossible that you shouldn't have a little bit of Rekav. Rabbi Shimon holds Tar, because Rabbi Shimon holds. And a Hanami, you have the share. But once it's inside of a little bit of Ofer, at that point, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be Tameh. Says the Gemara, coming, circling back to our Sugya. Hashadam, time to Rabbi Shimon, Mishum Slavit Chilosoi. Now that you're telling me that you say to Rabbi Shimon's Halacha Moli Tarvid Rekav, with this little bit of offer inside of it. The reason Rav Shimon holds Tar is because it's Leifik Yitchilasai. Meaning, and not because we say that the little bit of offer is Mevatel, the Rekev. Has nothing to do with that. It's because of Leifik Yitchilasai. It's a special halacha in the world of Moli Tarvid Rekev. If that's the case, it has no bearing on Shilya. So, Hadra Kushya Leduchte, coming back to the beginning of the Sugya, Gabi Shilya, my timer. So, what's Pshana Reb Shimon's Halacha by Shilya? Why is Reb Shimon hold that if the Shilya ain't Shilya, believe Vlad, nobody argues with them, it is. Why is the bias tar? Luchur, this dam of the mace that's Nimayach inside the Shilya. So, Luchur, it should be Tommy. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Mishon Bittel Berayv Nagabot, which is where Rashi spoke at in the Mishnah, which is what we spoke at earlier. It's because of Bilt of a Raid. And a Hanami, there's the mace. But there's a lot more dam of the Makar than there is dam of this fetus and this embryo. And as a result, we say Bilt of a Raid, just like Bilt of a Raid always works, it works here as well. For us, Rabbi Yochanan Tami. The Gemara says, this Rabbi Yochanan, who right here addressed this question of my time with Rabbi Shimon, and he sent me Shum Bittel Barayv Naguba, he said this somewhere else as well. So, Rabbi Yechon said, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Amru Davar Echad. Shimon, Hadamar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Eliezer, what's this Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Eliezer Yaakov, time to learn to the Brice, Rabbi Eliezer Yaakov, Oyim, Ibehim Agasa, Sheshafa, Chareres, that, this is a Gemara Masech, this Bechayrois, Tavchof Aleph Amid Beis. This was a Behem Agasa that delivered a Charara literally is a cake of blood. So this big glob of blood came out of a Behema Gasa. So the question is, do we look at it as a Vlad? Do we not look at it as a Vlad? L'may nafkemina, so not the tumma of the Behema, but it's Negea, the laws of Bechar, for example, right? Bechar. Is it considered a child and the next child is not going to be a Bechar? So this is where Blesman Yaakov said, Harezu Tikover. Number one, you have to bury the Charara. Because it's a Bechar. It's Asa Bahana. Okay. Oop, Turim and a Bechar. The next child is not going to be subject to the laws of Bechar. This behemoth is now exempt from the laws of Bechar. It just gave birth to its Bechar. Tani Reb Chiya Allah, Reb Chiya said, Ein metam alei b'magav alei b'mas. But you should know Reb Chiya said, this is a Tani Reb Chiya, not an Amar Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya the Tana, not Reb Chiya the Amar. He said that this Charara, you don't have to worry about Tumma. No Tumas Maga, no Tumas Masa. Now, a Behema doesn't have Tumas Mace, but it has Tumas Nevela. But he said, no, there's no Tumas Maga and Masa of a Nevela. You have nothing to worry about. Fate to Gemara, it doesn't make sense. Number one, a mighty cover, Maman of Shach. So the Gemara says that Kedei Lefarisim Hashib Tumar Nabachar. The reason you're bearing it is so people should know it's Patam Nabachar. But the Gemara says, it still doesn't make sense. I'm a Vlad Ma'alyu. Tachlas. It's Patam Nabachar. That means it's a Vlad Ma'alyu. If it's a Vlad Ma'alyu, I might tell you Reb Chiya, Ein Matam Alei B'Maga V'Alei B'Masa. So, I mean, how do you make sense of this Reb Lezmi Yaakov? On the one, Reb Lezmi Yaakov says, Pturim and Abachar, and then he says, Einim Atam Alev and Magav Alev and Masa. Pturim and Abachar means it's a Vlad. The next child is not going to be the Bachar. Einim Atam Alev and Magav Alev and Masa means it's not a Vlad, because if it was a Vlad, it would be an Avela. So which one is it? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Mishon Bittel B'Rayv Naguba. It is a Bachar. And that's why Pturim and Abachar. You want to know why there's no Tumah, it's Magav Masa? Because we say that there's so much other blood, that other blood was Mevatel. The Chararas Dam has in it for sure Vlad. But the Vlad is bottled to all the other dam, and as a result, Mishul Bittel. It's the same Reb Shimon, Mamish, the Zelba Reb Shimon. A Shilya for sure has a lot inside of it, but there's also regular dam from the Makar. Even though that dam is Tomei, it doesn't matter. Dam Tomei can be Mevatel, other dam Tomei. And it's Rabbi Yechon said, Reb Shimon, Reb Lezmi Yaakov, Reb Lezmi Yaakov for sure was coming from a Bittel Barayv standpoint, which means Reb Shimon was also coming from a Bittel Barayv standpoint. That's Reb Yechon Lashitasa, who explained Reb Shimon in our Sugya that it's because of Bittel Barayv. One final Gemara, Amr Avami, Reb Yechon, Reb Shimon's giving me the Shimei Tmei Leida, that the mother's giving Tami Tumas Leida. I mean, even though we're not looking at the Vlad from a Tumas May standpoint as a Vlad, but you wonder if the mother is going to be considered to have given birth to a Vlad, yeah. Omer, who's Sabbath Rabbani? Asbel Chatamid Rabbi Yochanan. I'll explain to you Tamid Rabbi Yochanan. Dama Kroos, because the pasuk says Isha Kisazria The Yolda Sachar, the Goymer. We learn from there. Filo Yolda Elikin Shizria Tmeya Leda. That even if the child came out like Zera, which is in a liquid form, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be considered a child. It would have been a Havamin according to Rav Shimon. Maybe the mother shouldn't be Tomei Tumas Leda. But based on a Pasuk, the Gemara addressed it. Ahu Saba, maybe Eliyahu Hanavi. That this mother, at the very least, is going to be Tomei Tumas Leda. So before we end, just one final La'ara. And that is as follows. The Gemara was discussing earlier in the daf, two stories. So again, the beginning of the daf discusses a woman delivers a child, and then sometime afterwards, she delivered an afterbirth. She delivered a placenta, which is normal. But in this case, it happened 3 days later, 10 days later, 23 days later, 24 days later. And the Gemara they told two stories. One story was, Ma'isa v'tolu es ha'shilya b'vlad ad chav gimel yamin. Rabbi Yosef said, no, it wasn't 23, it was 24 days. So a woman gave birth to a child. 23 or 24 days later, she gave birth to an afterbirth. And they said, no, it doesn't mean there was another child here. No, it's this, it's the afterbirth. It was in the mother for a very long time. But it's really the same afterbirth. It belongs to this child. Then they were told another story, an incredible story, that a woman gave birth to a child, and then she didn't deliver the placenta a long time later. She actually delivered another child 33 days later or 34 days later. And they might have a problem with that second story. Marissa, how's that possible? How could a woman deliver a child and then 33 or 34 days later deliver another child? The only way to deliver a child is in the 7th month or in the 9th month. This is a mandama that holds the 9th month has to be at the end of the 9th month. But according to the mandama that holds that in the 9th month, live child obviously, has to be at the end of the 9th month. So if that's the case, one is in the 7th, one is at the end of the 9th, it's going to be a minimum of about 60 days apart. So how's it shayich 33 or 34 days apart? And the Gemara said, because of Ipuch, you have to flip the two stories. The two children were the story where it was 23 or 24 days apart. The mother, the child, and the afterbirth is when it was 33 or 34 days apart. There's a small toisvis over here, but this toisvis has ramifications, la'alach. It was discussed in many tshuvas from Gedolei Olam. The second toisvis on the Yomid. I don't understand why the Gemara has a problem with two children being born 33 or 40 day, 34 days apart, according to the mandama that holds that a woman that gives birth to a child in the 9th month is not yoledes lemikuta'in, but only gives birth at the end of the 9th month. Why can't we shtel tzu the shita of Rabba Toisva? So some have the Gerasa Rabba Toisva, some have the Gerasa Rabba Toisva, but why can't we stel tzu the sheet of Rabba Toisva? What was Rabba Toisva's halacha? So it's mentioned in the Sechtes Yevomis, again, Perek Aro, Daf Peyom Edeis, said Rabba Toisva, Isha Shaholach Baila Medina Sayam. A woman's husband went to Medina Sayam. Deshtai Atresa Yarche Shasa. And he was there for 12 months. He was away for 12 months. At the end of the 12 months, his wife gave birth to a child. So she's a married woman, she's an Eishesh. Husband went away on a very long business trip. He was away for a year. At the end of the year, meaning 12 months from when he had left the Medina Sayyam, she gave birth to a child. Rabbi Taisva said, Achshere, it's kosher. You don't have to worry about this child. It's okay. Meaning at first glance, the child's a mamzer. Because the husband wasn't around. She's an Eishesh Ish. Obviously, the child came from somebody else. Eishesh Ish, that's Mazana Tachas Bailo, the Allah is. The child's going to be a mamzer. But Rabbi Taisva said a chiddish. Rabbi Taisva said, no, the child is not a mamzer. The Gemara says, V'achshere Rabbi Taisva. Rabbi Taisva said it's going to be okay. What's the pshat? He said, alum this. He said, because we say that mishtahi, that it's possible that the baby really was developed after 9 months, but ishtoi, it remained inside its mother's womb, up until 12 months. So Rabbi Taisva said that this could happen. And he said, up until 12 months, I hear it. After 12 months already, now, then the child's going to be a mamzer. But Rabbi Taisva said a chiddush, that sometimes a child develops inside its mother's womb, it doesn't deliver right away. It stays there. And how long does it stay? It's learning with the malach. Up until 12 months, this could happen. Either way, this is Rabbi Toisva's chiddush, and Yevamis not pay him a day. So what's hot this mit unsere sugya? It's very Toisva. I don't understand the whole problem over here. The Gemara is all perplexed. How's it possible that these two babies were born? Maybe both babies really were fully developed in the 7th month. One baby came out, and then the other baby came out 33 days later. Why? Because it was ishtai. Oh, both babies the 9th month. And 33 or 34. If a baby can come out 12 months, so obviously it means what Rabbi Toisva said, ishtai atreisa yachishasa. A fully developed child doesn't necessarily deliver right away. So Frey the Gemara, if that's Rabbi Toisva's sheet in Yevamis, daf peyom ibeis, so Frey Toisva, why didn't the Gemara shtel tzu in invoke the chiddush of Rabbi Tosfa. And Tosfa says, "V'yesh loymer the roiv amayram less lehu the Rabbi Tosfa." The reason is because most amayram do not hold the Rabbi Tosfa. In other words, Tosfa says because the halacha is not like Rabbi Tosfa. You look at Rabbi Kizeg and Gilian Ashas. He sends you to another Tosfa. Also, Masechtas Nida, Daf Lamed Chesam and Aleph, Tosfos Lashon over there is the Loikaim Alon Karabat Tosfos, the Paragahal. Because the Halach is not like Rabbi Tosfos, meaning the Halach is not like this Chiddush. If a woman would give birth Yud Beis Chodesh after the last time she was with her husband, there's no question that child would be considered a mamzer. That's Shitas, Tosfos and Masechtas Nida in two places. Chav Zayin Aman Aleph in today's Daf, and Lekamon, Daf Lamed Chesam and Aleph, stating that the halach and Shulchan Aruch is not like Tosfos. The halach and Shulchan Aruch is as follows, and this is in Hilchas Piri V'Rivya. It's in Evan Ezer, Simin Dalid, Sif Katan Yod Dalid. Isha Shal Yobay LeMedina Sayam, a woman whose husband was Medina Sayam. V'Shal Sham Yosim Yod Beis Chayidish, and he was there more than 12 months. V'Yalda, and then she gave birth to a child. Achad Yod Beis Chayidish. After 12 months, so the husband went away for more than a year, and after a year, 13 months after the husband left, she gave birth to a child. Halach is avlad mamzer. She ain't avlad shoye b'mei ima yoisim yud beis chaydish. Because there's no such thing that a vlad is going to remain in its mother's womb more than 12 months. Says the Rambam, skipping avol toich yud beis chaydish. Clearly implied from the mechaber is that if the same thing happened, but it wasn't lacha yud beis chaydish, rather it was toich yud beis chaydish. Ain't lachush. No, then you don't assume that the child is a mamzer. Why not? The Amrinon the Ishtoi Kol Kach Bimei Imoi Ko'uvda Beperika Oral the Kach Kosav Hamarik. In other words, this Chiddush of Rabbi Tosfa is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Shmuel and the Chelkis Mechayk both say that even though the Mechab and the Ramah said that we pass like Rabbi Tosfa, but in Tosfos and Shasas before not that way. But here's the bottom line: they both shells who are Tosfos, but La Halacha we paskin like Rabbi Tosfa. So Isha Sholach Baila Lemdina Sayam. 11 and a half months after she gives birth to a child, you would think that the child's for sure a mamzer, Rabbi Tosfa. It's not buchach that way. And the halacha is, we assume, amrina nishtoi kol kach bi mei imay. But then you have to read the fine print, literally. It says the Ramah, that this is only true, v'dafka shloi rabu dove mechur. This is only true if they didn't see any dove mechur, meaning this woman never acted in an inappropriate way that would lend us to believe that maybe she was mezana, maybe the child came from somebody else. Avim ro ba dove mechur. If, however, you saw that she did act inappropriate, appropriately, in that case, you're going to have to be concerned. So, although the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Tosfa, but a very important asterisk, and that is, it's only if there was no Dove Mechur. But if there was a Dove Mechur, then the halacha is going to be different. There's a tshuva, and it's a very important tshuva as it relates to this halacha. Is in Shailos the tshuva is Rabbi Kiva Eger. It's in Simen Tzadik Tes. So the tshuva is actually, the original tshuva is a long tshuva. It's about 15 or so pages long. But the first tshuva that Rabbi Kivega wrote, he received a response to from the Beis Meir, the Goyen Olam, the Beis Meir. Then Rabbi Kivega wrote back to the Beis Meir. And then the Beis Meir wrote back to Rabbi Kivega. Either way, it starts in Simen Tzadik Tes. It ends in Simen Kuv Zayin. And it's over 50 pages long in Tshuvas Rabbi Kivega. So in Tshuvas Rabbi Kivega, where every word, you have to be Medayik L'Shoinei Azov, there's more than 50 pages with regards to the following noises. Rabbi Kivega brings the whole arichos of what the backdrop of the story is. We'll just read the first paragraph just to get a sense of what exactly was going on. Aldas Shei Losei V'Zel L'Shoinei Isha Shababayla L'Beisoi B'Yoyim Beis Erev Pesach. There was a man that came home. It was Erev Pesach. It was also Monday. V'Tavla V'Shemsha, his wife went to the Mikvah, the Shemsha, and it was Tashmish. B'yom Dalit, Isruchak, a Pesach, the following Wednesday, which was Isruchak Pesach, Cholach Lemerchak. He went away, and he hasn't come back yet. Shmoyne Yomim Achal Ichase, 8 days after he left on Isruchak. 8 days after he left, Parsa Nida. She became a Nida. Shayahaz Eze Yomim Koin Vest. It was slightly before her vest. Vechem Pirsa Oit Pam Bishas Vesta. Then she became a Nida a second time. This time it was Urich Bezmane Ba. Koidim Chagash. It was a real fest. It was right before Shavuos. And then after that, she stopped seeing Afilu Tipas Dam Kecharadol. So Erev Shavuos, she saw Shefer Rav, and then she didn't even see the Tipas Dam Kecharadol. And Shavuos time, or right after Shavuos, she was nauseous. She didn't want to eat. And Kederech Noshem Uubaris. B'yom Aleph to Purim, and then that year, Purim Yolda Ben Zacha, she gave birth to a boy. However, there was one problem. The problem is that if you do the math and you make the cheshbin, it would seem that Purim, going back to the last time she was with her husband, was 10 months and 3 weeks. A
That's a very long time. Yom hiluch baylo. V'yesh beis edim ksherim sheyidu b'fnei bezdim b'drisha v'chakiru b'toyrisim v'yagim v'nosafayim. And the question was, what do you do with this child? Is this child a mamzer? Is she now usher to her husband? Now, he didn't come home yet, so he's wherever he is. But he's the merchakim. He's overseas. But right now, this, and that's very important in the Chuvas. But right now, this is what's going on. And the shayla was presented to a local bezdin, and this dayan sends the shayla to Rabbi Kiva Eger, and he tells Rabbi Kiva Eger, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with a woman who gave birth to a child 10 months and 3 weeks after the last time she was with her husband, with some of the simonim that he mentions. Now, this yid started doing research. What do you have to do research for? Was it a Dovah Mechur? Was it not a Dovah Mechur? Because at first glance, we pass him like Rabbi Toysva. So as fantastic as it may seem, it's Halach and Shulchan Aruch. It's non-negotiable. But the fine print, the Ramah. And the Ramah says not so simple. The Ramah says it depends. Was there a Dovah Mechur? So they went in and they started doing their due diligence to find out what the story was. And he brings here the Haggadah's Eidos of many witnesses who observed the activities of this woman. And they're trying to establish, was the Dovah Mechur, was there not? Again, I'll just read the first one, and then, Tein L'chachem V'yech Gemoy. Ha'echad heyed b'zeh ha'loshen, koydim chag ha'shfuiz, b'chatzi ha'layla. It was right before Shfuiz, it was in the middle of the night. Yashavti l'fnei Pesach Beisi, neged ha'bayi sh'isha d'arabai. I was sitting outside my house, and I live across the street from where this woman lives. Ro'isi adelis b'beis ha'pasuch. And I noticed that the door in her house was open. Chashavti lirois mazeh shadelis b'suchah b'chatzi alayla. And I was taken aback by that. Like, what's going on? Why is the door open in the middle of the night? Ro'isi, so I went and I looked. Ha'isha yotza mi'pesach ha'bayis emnar echad. I saw this woman walking out together with a nar echad, with a man. Shekvar nechshedo imanarahu. And I had heard rumors that maybe something was up with this woman and that particular person. I saw this in the middle of the night. As soon as she saw me, barcha el cheder katan anigra shtibin kamer. She ran to the shtibin kamer. The nar holach laat laat, but the nar didn't run. She started running. He was walking very galasin. Ukevoy karav etzloy. But then when I got closer to him, hochel loritz mo'oid le'echad me'achari abatim. And he hid in one of the houses in one of the little structures in that area. Either way, that was the edus of the first aid. The edus of the second aid, the third, the fourth, it's all al derech zeh. The point is, it sounds a little bit like there was a Dovah Mechur. So Rabbi Kiva Eger sat down, Rabbi Kiva Eger sat and had to write a tshuva. The first part of Rabbi Kiva Eger's tshuva, and this permeates all the 50 or so pages here in tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger with the Beis Meir, was Rabbi Kiva Eger said that there's a halacha that when it comes to dinei mominus, you're not allowed to be mekabel the edus of one baal din if the other baal din is not present. Right, you can't go and decide that somebody owes somebody money. Every man has a right to have his day in court, literally. And if he's not present at the time that the Bezdin is presiding over the court case, you can't pass in the shayla. And the question is, how does it relate to these halachas? You're going to go ahead and you're going to decide that this woman is also to her husband because she was mezana tachas bailo. Shouldn't he have a say? How do you know exactly what happened? You don't. He has to have an opportunity to be here and defend himself in the event that something actually went down. So said Rabbi Kiva Eger, the first thing is you have to know if we could even be mekabel this edus. L'chayr, the edus is dead on arrival because you can only be mekabel edus b'fnei baldin, and it's not only true by dinei mominus; it's true by issa the heter as well. This is an arichos of page after page after page of Rabbi Kiva Eger. The second thing Rabbi Kiva Eger said was let's assume that you can be mekabel all the edus. At the end of the day, what's the crux of the shayla as it relates to our Rabbi Tosfa? As it relates to the Evan Ezer component. That is, was there a Dovah Mechur? Was it not a Dovah Mechur? So Rabbi Kiva Eger says that Shulchan Aruch never explained what Dovah Mechur is. He never explained it. But there is another Marim Makoim that we can shtel to try to determine how you define Dovah Mechur. Right? So from a high level, we can all appreciate what Dovah Mechur is. But from a halachic perspective, you can't look at things from a 20,000 foot view. You have to really know what's the definition of Dovah Mechur. So you shtel tzu on Mefurash Halach and Shulchan Aruch, a few simonim later, also in Ebene Ezer, in Hilchas Ishus, this is in Simon Yud Aleph. So we know that if this Kinui Stira, a woman becomes asa to her husband. Self-excited, the basic concept of self-excited applies to Bizman Hazeh. You just don't have the Mayim Hamo'arim. But the idea of self-excited, where Isha becomes asa l'baila because she's a self-excited, that's something that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The question is, what happens if a woman was together with another man? Stira. But there was no kinui. So you don't meet the technical criteria for the laws of Saita. So what's the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch discusses that. And there's many variables and permutations as it relates to this halacha. Let's say there was no kinui. Two Eidim walk in to Bezin. They say, this woman, that man, they were in a state of yichud. And then afterwards, they did some research and they found out
that it wasn't just that they were together in the same room. There was a davar mechur. And here the Shulchan Aruch starts giving examples of what davar mechur is. Kegoyin. Shenis nichnesu acharav umatsuoi medes me'alamita. So two Edom walked in and they saw the woman was there and she was lying on a bed and she was dressed in a certain way, says the Shulchan Aruch. Or another example. Shayu yoytzim imakam afal. He saw the two of them walking out, this man and woman. It wasn't just a stira. They were leaving a very dark place. Oyim ma'alim ze'ezem enabar. They were helping each other out of a pit. Oy shiro menashkim ze'ezem. Either way, the Shulchan Aruch gives different examples of what Davar Mechur is. Says Rabbi Kiveger, it's clear that as it relates to those halachas in Siman Yud Aleph, because sometimes the Davar Mechur is enough basis to force a couple to get divorced. Now, matters, there's children, there's not children, ayin sham, it's a very interesting halacha. But the point is that the Shulchan Aruch gives a very precise definition of what Davar Mechur doesn't just mean that something was iffy. Davar Mechur means it has to check off one of the boxes that the Shulchan Aruch mentions in Siman Yud Aleph. And Reb Kiveger says that being that over here in Siman Dalet, the Poiskim didn't explain what Davar Mechur is, and in Siman Yud Aleph they did, Yagid Olav Reyoy. So we'll have to assume that what the definition is in Siman Yud Aleph, that's going to be the definition in Siman Dalet. And based on that, Reb Kiveger said, the only way we can establish Davar Mechur is if we can meet that criteria. Instead, Reb Kiveger, I went through the Eidos, and he goes through in the Tshuva, again, I mean, if you have time to go through this Tshuva, it's unbelievable. Literally, line item by line item, as it relates to the edus of these witnesses, and he said that I don't think there's enough over here for Davar Mechur. And based on that, Rabbi Kiveger said it's halach and Shulchan Aruch. So as much as the story seems a little rachik, but here's the bottom line. The bottom line is it is a halach and Shulchan Aruch. And the halach is we paskin like Rabbi Teisva, even though the Beis Shmuel Chalkes Mechayik say that from Tois Masechtes Nida Chav Zayin Lamed Ches not the way, but the halach and Shulchan Aruch is that way. It's the Rambam Shita. We do paskin like Rabbi Teisva. The only time not is if there's Davar Mechur. This is Rabbi Kiveger's chiddush that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes. This is the chiddush halacha lemaisa component of this Tshuva, Rabbi Kiveger, and that is that the only time somebody's considered, meaning you would have thought that the definition of Davar Mechur is different in Siman Dalet than in Siman Yud Aleph, right? Just to bring this out, why is Rabbi Kiveger such a chiddush? Because we think in Siman Yud Aleph, Davar Mechur maybe has to be something that's very over the top, but over here in Siman Dalet, we have a baby that was born 11 months later, and you have a Davar Mechur, so maybe the definition of Davar Mechur is a little bit of a looser definition. Stating that, that's not the way it is. So just to end, I'll just tell you something interesting, and that is, so what's the longest pregnancy in world history? So I don't know. I didn't look at the Guinness Book of World Records. But I will tell you this, that there was an article that was written in Time Magazine. This goes back to the 1940s about a woman that by the end of 9 months, just read one excerpt, most women are more than happy to get their new little one out into this world. Sometimes, however, Mother Nature has its own ideas. The record for the longest pregnancy that resulted in a live birth belongs to Beula Hunter, a 25-year-old woman from Los Angeles. When she delivered a daughter, Penny Diana Hunter, in 1945, the child appeared absolutely normal. This shocked her doctor, who stated that Hunter's last menstrual period had been a staggering 375 days ago. An average pregnancy is 280 days, making this an extra 3 months that Hunter carried her daughter in the womb. Bottom line is that this is a mitzios that Chachamim were concerned with. It's something that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Dalet. What does it have to do with today's daf? Because in today's daf, Tosfos says you don't have to worry about this. We don't paskin like Rabbi Tosfos. Most of the Amiram, Tosfos said, Roiv Amiram, less of the Rabbi Tosfos. But in Shulchan Aruch, this halacha is brought down.